we have the opportunity to try and tap into the lofty mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner HaShabbos. I've been longing to put together and give the shirim for over a year now. And the structure of the shirim will be that Bezrat Hashem will cover some of the halachos involved in candlelighting, and then we'll delve deeper into the reasons and beauty behind these halachos. This will not be an all-inclusive halacha shir, so if you're looking for that, there are other venues for that. But the goal will be to go through the sources, the gemaras, the halachos, and the other svarim, and what they write about halachos neros. And the truth is that even if we would speak about Shabbos candles all day for the entire year, so we wouldn't even scratch the surface of this holy mitzvah. All these shir and Bezrat Hashem will be understood independent of any other shir in the series, but I am confident that by going through these shirim in order, so it would definitely give one a more comprehensive grasp on the topic. The source sheet is attached on the side of the shir, and we're going to begin. Source number one. So the topic we're going to be dealing with in this shir is, why is it that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros? Why specifically women? So the Gemara starts off with Talmud Bavli, Maseches Shabbos, source number one. Rav Huna hava ragil dehave chalef v'tani apitcha d'Rabbi Avin Negara. That Rav Huna would go and he would visit. He was regularly a visitor at the entrance to Rabbi Avin's house, and he would teach there. And one time, chazad dehave ragil b'shragei tuva, he saw that in the house of Rabbi Avin, they were careful to light many candles for Shabbos Kodesh. So Rav Huna said, Amar trei gavrei ravrave nafkei mehacha, that there are going to be two great men that come from you, Rabbi Avin. There are going to be two great people. Nafkei minayhu Rav Idi bar Avin, but Rav Chia bar Avin. So two great men did come from Rabbi Avin. Those two great men were Rav Idi bar Avin and Rav Chia bar Avin. So the Gemara goes on and tells a similar story, that Rav Chista was walking, and he used to go and visit and teach at the entrance to the house of the parents of Rav Shizbi. And the similar story by Rav Chista, Chazed Dehave Ragil Bishragi Tuva, that Rav Chista also saw that the house of the parents of Rav Shizbi, that's the name of the Rav, so at his parents' house, they were also careful about lighting. And Rav Chista said about his parents, "Gavar Rabba Nafeg Mahacha," that also from you, there will be a great person that comes out from you too. Nafeg Minayo Rav Shizbi, and from the parents of Rav Shizbi came Rav Shizbi. Right, so it seems to be that as a result of people being very careful with the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, of them lighting extra lights, that they were zocha to great people to come from them. So Tosfos asks a question. Or Tosfos rather clarifies the Gemara a step further. And Tosfos writes in source number two, Chaza dehavu ragile bishraga, that they saw that they were regularly being careful with the lighting. Peir shabal vaha isha lekach amar trei gavre ravrave nafik mehacha. So source number two, Tosfos explains this Gemara further. And they write, Perish habal va'isha lekach amar trei gavrei rivervei nafki mehacha. So why is it by Rav Huna two great people come out from this mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles, and by Rav Chista only one great person comes out? So the Tosfos explains that the reason is because in Rav Huna's case, by Rabbi Avin, both Rabbi Avin and his wife were careful to light the candles. Ulekaman, but by the case by Rav Chista, Amar chaza dehave ragila ha'isha levada. Right, but the case of Rav Chista was only the wife was being careful with the Neros Shabbos. She was the one lighting the candles. So therefore, one great person comes from them, b'schus the wife. But because the husband wasn't lighting there, so only one great person comes out. So the first two sources, what we learn out from these first two sources is that, first of all, when a person's careful with candle lighting, specifically Shabbos candle lighting, so you could have great people come from you as a result of that. But secondly, we see from this that if one person is going to light in the house, so it should be the woman, right? In the first case, Rav Huna, there's two people lighting, it's the husband and wife. The second case with Rav Chista, so there's only one person lighting, we see that it was the wife the wife of the family. So in source number three, we get a little bit of a deeper understanding as why that should be. Why should it be that if there's only one person lighting, that it should be the wife? Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Shabbos. Right, so before this, we have, it's just important to remember that there's the Mishnah that talks about the three mitzvos that were given to women. And those mitzvos, specific mitzvos that were given to women, those mitzvos are Chala, Nida, and Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. And the Gemara Yerushalmi here discusses why those three mitzvos were given. So what we have in front of us is why the mitzvah of Hadlaka Ner was given to the women. And it reads, Adam HaRishon Ner Sha'olam Haya. The Adam HaRishon was called the candle of the world. He illuminated the entire world. Haya Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. That the candle of God is the soul of man. V'garma lo Chava Misa. And Chava caused Adam to die. Chava caused this candle to be extinguished. Right? There wasn't a concept, there wasn't supposed to be death in the world before Adam and Chava sinned. But once they sinned, so this notion of death came to the world that didn't exist before. The fikach, masru mitzvah ha-ner le-isha. So therefore, the mitzvah of ner was given to the woman. So it's an interesting thing. Adam is called the candle of the world. He illuminates the entire world. And Chava comes, and seemingly as the Yerushalmi paints it, Chava comes and played a role in extinguishing that candle. That's the first reason given. The second reason we have is from the Rambam. Now, throughout the Shiur, the reason that we're going to be going with, the understanding we're going to be going with, is we're going to be expounding upon the Talmud Yerushalmi. But we're not going to be expounding on this Shiur on the Rambam they're about to quote. But it's still a good thing that we should know. The Rambam says, in source number 4, Hamadlik zarech lahadlik mevod yom kodem shikiyas achama, that when a person lights Shabbos candles, it should be done before sunset. V'nashim mitzavos al davar zeh yoter men ha'anashim lefi shehin mitzuyos bebatim vehin ha'asukos b'malachas abayis. Right, because women are typically around the house more, there maybe it's raising the children, or maybe it's just making sure everything's ready for Shabbos Kodesh, so they'll be more able to be on top of this mitzvah. And they won't let things slide. So therefore, the mitzvah is given to them. Now, this is the external reading of the Rambam. But of course, there's a much greater understanding of what that means, that the woman is connected with the bias, which we're not going to get into now, and maybe in a further shiur we'll get into. But in source number 5, we see that the Torah brings both of these opinions. And it lists both of these opinions, the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Rambam, as a reason for why women should be the ones that light the Shabbos candles. As the Torah writes, V'hanashim, Mutarot bo yoter kideisa b'midrash. Right, and there we have our the Yerushalmi, which also quotes the Midrash. Right, the Nashim are more instructed and they're more careful with this mitzvah because the reason we quoted the Yerushalmi, because Chava extinguished the candle of the world, and therefore it's her job to relight that candle. And the second reason is that reason of the Rambam, that women in general are more mekosher to the bias. So let's take a look at the Pesukim themselves. Right, let's just see the Peshat. Let's see what the Peshat says. Bereshis, Per Gimel, Pasuk Vav, and source number 6. V'tireh ha'isha ki tov ha'itz l'ma'achal v'kitayvahu le'inayim v'nechmar ha'itz l'haskiel. Right, and the woman saw that the tree was, it looked good for eating, or was good for eating. And it looked special, there was a certain attraction in her eyes, and there was a desire, and the tree seemed desirable as a medium for understanding, as a means to wisdom. V'tikach mipir yo v'tochal, and she took from its fruit and she ate. V'titein gam l'isha ima v'yochal, and she then also gave to her husband that was with her, and he ate from it. So it seems pretty clear why the Torah qualify this as a woman's mitzvah? Because they feel that as a result of Chava initiating the sin, that therefore Chava and women for all time should try and be mitaking the sin. But there's an issue with that. And the issue is that if it's so clear that it's Chava's sin, so why almost across the board do all the Svarim refer to the sin as the Chet of Adam Rishon? Right? If that's the case, that we see constantly as the sin being referred to as Adam's sin and not Chava's sin, to the exclusion of this Yerushalmi, to the exclusion of maybe a few other sources. So then why is it considered Chava's sin? Maybe it's Adam's sin. And maybe we could even say that men should be lighting Shabbos candles and women shouldn't be lighting Shabbos candles. So we have a few sources in front of us. Source number 7, source number 8, that clearly illustrate this point, right? Source number 7 is from Bereishis Rabbah. And the Midrash is talking about the different path and the speed of the different mazalos. And it talks about how before Adam Rishon they took one path, and after Adam Rishon they took a longer path, a different path. But regardless of the topic of mazalos, which is not our study right now, we see that it starts off by saying, Kach ad shlo chet chata Adam Rishon, that it wasn't until Adam Rishon sinned, that it was the sin of Adam HaRishon that caused the change here. And the same thing in Talmud Bavli in Brachos. We see when it's discussing what was the type of tree that Adam and Chava ate from. What was this tree? Right, it was not an apple tree as we know. The Tanya Ilan She'achol Mimenu Adam HaRishon in source number 8. So this tree that Adam HaRishon ate from, what was it? Rav Meir Omer Geffen Haya. So Rav Meir says it was he actually ate from grapes. Right, and there's an opinion further on that says, oh, he ate from figs, or he ate from wheat. But regardless, we see that the Gemara is referring to the one who ate from the tree as Adam HaRishon, not Chava. So the question is further, why is this again a woman's mitzvah? Why was the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros given to women? And why do we say it was Chava's sin that caused extinguishing of this candle, if it seems to be that these sources are saying that it was actually the sin of Adam HaRishon? Right, and by getting a deeper study, which deeper understanding of the sin, and the fall that mankind took after the sin, which we're about to see in source number 9, what exactly happened after the sin of Adam and Chava. So by getting a greater understanding of this, we can get a much greater appreciation for what the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros is trying to fix, of what it's trying to do in this world. When a person goes, when a Bas Yisrael, when a woman goes on Erev Shabbos, and she takes time to light Shabbos candles, whether it's 2 or whether it's, you know, 5 or 7 or however many this person lights. So in order to get a greater appreciation for it, let's see what we're actually trying to fix here. Source number 9 is Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem was written from the Ramchal. When I was younger, I used to think that it was very similar to Mesillas Yesharim. So I hadn't learned it for a little bit. I like Mesillas Yesharim a lot, but I just hadn't explored it because I figured it was similar. When I got older, a little bit older, I got a little bit wiser, and I looked into the Sefer, and I saw how wondrous it was. Just as wondrous as Mesillas Yesharim is, so too is the Sefer, but in its own way, it's totally different. It just goes through speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to this world, the way Hashem interacts in this world, you know, free will of man, the responsibility of a person in this world, and how that affects the bracha coming down to this world and the way we receive it. It's just an unbelievable sefer. So in source number 9, the Ramchal is going to teach us a little bit more about this sin of Adam and Chava. Umimashi yitztarech od das. Among the things that we must know, shine hamin ha'enoshi ein inyano harishon, kmo she'anu ro'im u'mavchinim oto ata. That, you know, the person we see now, when we look around and we see other people, and we see everyone with their own struggles, and we see ourselves, and we see the struggles we have, so this isn't the way it used to be. Ki ulam shinoi gadol hayabo, because there was a great change that happened. Vu inyan cheto shel Adam Rishon, and that was the sin of Adam Rishon. That sin changed everything for all of mankind. It didn't used to be this way. He says, we'll learn more later on the great changes that this sin caused.
Kifulim,
you can't compare man before the sin and after the sin. It was just a completely different way of relating between the goof and the nefesh, or the goof and the neshama. It was just a completely different way of balancing oneself. And it became a lot more difficult. And as he finishes the paragraph, as we pick up the next paragraph, Hine Adam HaRishon, Be'etzitz Yiraso HaYamamish Botzo HaMasav, Shezacharnu Adhina, V'hainu Shehu Hayam Workav Min Shnei HaChalakim HaHavchim She'amarnu, Shema Neshama V'aguf. That Adam HaRishon was made of these two complete opposites, the Neshama and the Guf. Uvimetzios Hayu Shnei Anyanim, Hatova Ram. Within these two things, the Guf and the Neshama, there was good in the neshama, and there was bad in the body. V'hu omid b'shikul b'neim, and he stood in the balance between them. L'idabeg b'mashi yirtzemehem, and it was his choice. It was a clear, easy choice. Which one would you like? V'hine hayaroi lo sheyivchar b'tov, and it should have been that it was very easy. Adam, pick good. Just pick good. V'yagbir nishmaso al gufo, and if Adam would have chose good, if he would have chose his neshama, so then, v'sichel al chamaro, and he would have chose his seichel, his intellect, over just physicality. So Adam on his own level made that mistake, but if he wouldn't have made that mistake, so he would have attained perfection, and it would have been that way. That's the way it would have been forever. Right? He would have chosen Neshama over his goof, and the Neshama would have taken that position of priority over the body. And that's the way it would have been. But that's not what happened. Let's go now to Od Chet. Paragraph down. And before we start with that paragraph, we'll just mention that we have to keep in mind that we don't understand the decision of Adam HaRishon. We're just not on that level. We can't imagine the level Adam HaRishon was on, the lofty level he was on, and we can't imagine what kind of decision that was. So although it seems very simple here, it shouldn't be taken for granted that it's beyond our understanding. In paragraph Chet, it discusses that as a result of Adam's sin, so it became much more difficult for mankind to attain perfection. Right? And the reason being is that it became twice as hard, because first man had to bring himself back to the state which he was in before the sin, right? Had the first Adam HaRishon first needed to get to the point of before the Chet, and then at that point, right, he then needs to make the right decision of raising his neshama over his guf, that his neshama, his soul, would purify his body. And that would have, if we got back to that level, so that would have been as if he chose the neshama in the first place. Right, but it was twice as hard to achieve that at that point. And it didn't happen. So what we see from Derech Hashem is we see two things. The first thing we see is the extent of Adam's sin. What happened as a result of that sin? Right, what happened was that a great darkness came upon the world. Adam's soul was not lifted over his body. It did not purify his body, but rather his body brought pain to his neshama. And we have to do the tikkun for that. We're still trying to do the tikkun for that sin. And it says in source number 10, also from Derech Hashem, that there's a great darkness. Keep in mind that darkness that we spoke about in Talmud Yerushalmi, that candle being extinguished, causing a darkness. Alluded to here, that there's just a great darkness that hit the world as a result of this sin. And to this day, we're trying to fix this sin. So that's one thing we take out of the Derech Hashem, right? How great this sin was, and how much pain, and how much difficulty it caused to all of mankind. But the second thing is that again, it's referred to as the sin of Adam HaRishon. Again, in Derech Hashem, we see that it wasn't referred to as Chava's sin, but it was referred to exclusively as Adam's sin. Which is so difficult to understand, because if we look at the Pesukim, and if we look at the Yerushalmi, it seems very clear that this is Chava's sin. So we need greater clarification. And that greater clarification comes in source number 11 from the Arizal HaKadosh. The Arizal writes in Sefer Shar Pesukim, V'amarnu, as we discussed, ki Adam HaRishon haya kol el kol haneshamos, and this is the secret here. That Adam HaRishon was a combination of all souls. Within Adam Arishon's soul was the soul of every single person that will ever live. V'haya kolel kol ha'olamos. And not only every soul that will ever exist, but every world that will ever exist was included within the soul of Adam Harishon. U'kishachata naflu mimanu kol ha'neshamos ha'him l'tocha klipos. But when Adam sinned, so those neshamos fell to the klipos. And we're not going to go into that because it's not our study right now. But the Arizal here gives us tremendous insight into our question of whose sin it was, Adam or Chava's. Because he teaches that there was a tremendous fall, a tremendous degradation of everything lofty. And we see from here that every soul was included within Adam's soul. Adam was the kolel of all neshamos. Every soul was included within his soul. And therefore, when Adam Harishon sinned, it brought down everybody's soul. And everybody's soul at the time was the soul of Chava. And that means that really both of them sinned here. And that clarifies our questions a little bit. Of, was it Adam's sin? Was it Chava's sin? Well, if Chava's included within Adam, so then it was both of their sins. And what does that mean, Chava's included with Adam, within Adam? Well, let's just look at the Pasukim. Right in source number 12, Bereishis Perek Bet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And the Pasuk says, V'yapel Hashem Elokim Tardema ala Adam v'yishan v'yikach achat. Achas mitzalosav, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu put Adam in this deep sleep, this tardema, and he took from him one of his tla'os. V'yiskor basar tachten, and he closed his flesh from that place on which he took that tzela from. And what does it say after that? That besides the fact that he took the tzela from Adam, what does he do with it? Va'yiven Hashem Elokim et ha'tzela, asher lakach min Adam l'isha v'yaviu el ha'adam. And what does Hashem do? Hashem fashioned this tzela of Adam that he took from him, and he makes it into woman. He makes it into Chava. So we see that, literally, Chava was taken from Adam. Adam is this kolel neshama. He is this inclusive neshama of all of mankind. And included within this is Chava. She is part of him. They are one together. And to what extent they are one, we see even further, in the Gemara Masechah Brachos, in source 13, which says, "The Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, Du partzufin bar Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'Adam Harishon, Shnemar Achor v'Kadam Sartani." That they hold that there were two parts that were created to Adam Harishon, right? And one of them was Adam, and one of them was Chava, and they created front and back. And what happened was, as Rashi clarifies, that they were split. They were split, and out of one came Adam, and out of the other came Chava. But that they were together as one. Literally, they were fashioned together as one. And we see as we go on, a beautiful idea from the Ramban, in source 15, just how one they were, and what that means to be one with one spouse. An unbelievable idea from the Ramban. The Ramban writes, this is the second paragraph of the Rambam, sorry. First paragraph he's just talking about, he's going against what Rashi said, Rashi's understanding, and second paragraph he's giving his own understanding. Right, because animals, they don't really cling to their females. They don't cling to their spouses. But the male comes, and he finds himself a female animal. And right, but what happens by man? Man finds his wife, and his wife is comes from the bone of his bones and the flesh of his flesh, literally. And so he is able to cling to her. And he wants to cling to her. He wants to be with her forever. He doesn't just visit her and leave, like animals do, but he wants to be with her forever. As a result of this happening with Adam Arishon, the way Adam and Chava were created, the way Chava was taken from Adam. So this made a roshim, this made it clear, this made an imprint on all of mankind that would come after them, that this is the way it goes, right? That the zacharim, that the males, are clinging to their wives, and that they should leave their father and their mother, and they should be basar chad with their wife. And he goes on to say an unbelievable thing, that every other type of relationship between mankind is just referred to as she'er b'saro, right? As other flesh, but it's not his one flesh, right? There's only one flesh a person has, and that's their spouse. Every other person is secondary, which is an amazing concept. If you think about, I've thought about this for a while, how Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Yisrael, and every other land is called Chutz La'aretz, right? And in a way, it's an incredible thing, and it's teaching us that Eretz Yisrael is the ideal, and everything else is secondary. There's no America, and there's no Canada, and there's no Russia. There's just Chutz La'aretz. There's the Aretz, and then there's Chutz La'aretz. There's the main, and then there's secondary. And there's no even differentiating in between the secondary, because it's secondary. There's just a first and there's a second. It's the same thing with one spouse. There's one other person to you, and the rest is secondary. An unbelievable idea from the Ramban. And we see here, the Ramban shows us, how close a husband and wife should be, right? Even nowadays, a husband and wife should be so close. And why should we be so close? Because it's been imprinted in us from the way Adam and Chava were so close. And they were so close because Chava was taken from Adam. So this way in which Adam and Chava were formed, created, right, for us an ideal of how we should be living our life and how we should carry out our relationships. And it all stems from this way that Adam and Chava were connected with each other. And we see in source number 16 that it wasn't just a deep connection. And as the Ramban said also, he said, Etzem etzema v'basar mibasaro, which we see in the Pasuk. But we also see, right, the Maharal also expounds in source 16, Ki Adam v'Chava, by the underline, Ki Adam v'Chava nivru guf echad. Adam and Chava were made as one body. V'acher kach nechlaku. And only afterwards were they separated. L'kach, therefore, af ke'ashar ke'asher nechlaku him echad, and again, riding on the source of 15, just carrying on that theme of because Adam and Chava were once one, it's much easier for them to try and get back to the point of being one again. Although they were separated, and they didn't stay physically attached to each other, and Chava's soul was a chip off of Adam's soul, still, there was still much greater possibility for them to unite as a result of them being one at some point. In light of these ideas, we see that Adam and Chava, they were one. That Chava was a part of Adam. That Adam had a neshama that was kol el hakol. It was all-inclusive, including Chava. Right, so with these sources in mind, it makes sense why both men and women are chayv and halakas neiros. Right, we had the question of, should men light or should women light? We said, we came to the shir assuming that it's a woman's mitzvah. Right, and we had the question, well, why is it a woman's mitzvah? And we said, it's a woman's mitzvah because Chava committed that sin. And then we said, maybe Adam committed that sin. Well, the answer is, the beautiful answer is that Adam and Chava both committed the sin. Because they were both one. And we see this in the Rambam, l'halacha, l'maisa. That in source number 17, it says, Halakas near b'Shabbos, Einu reshosim ratza madlik v'im ratza einu madlik. Lighting a candle on Shabbos, it's not optional. This isn't something you do if you want to do because you think it's a nice thing. V'lo mitzvah she'enu chayev l'rdof achareha ad she'asena kigon erevei chatziris until sedayim l'achila el l'chuva. And it's not something like, okay, if I want to eat bread, so then I have to wash my hands, I have to make it on the tiyas sedayim, I have to make hamotzi. No. It's not an optional thing that we can take upon ourselves. Chuvah, it's obligatory. Ve'echad anashim, ve'echad nashim, chayvin lios bebatehen near daluk b'Shabbos. And men and women, both of them, are obligated to make sure that they have a lit candle in their house for Shabbos Kodesh. I see very clearly. The Rambam holds that both men and women are chayv in the mitzvah of hadlakas neir Shabbos. And we pass in this way. We see in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Simen Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Ben, Echad Anashim Ve'echad Anashim, chayvim liyopa bateim neir daluk b'Shabbos. Just like the Rambam said, whether it's men or whether it's women, both of them are obligated to have a candle lit in their house for Shabbos. So it's very clear that this is the way we paskin. And Sif Hey, same thing. Kishiyadlik yivarech b'chata Hashem okeinu mel chalam, asher k'dishanu b'mesosov v'tzivanu l'hadlik neir shel Shabbos. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. Make the same bracha, they have the same obligation. So it's very clear that they're both chayiv. And this makes sense with what we know, that neiros are supposed to be rekindling the soul of Adam HaRishon. Right? We're lighting the candles on Friday night, the Shabbos neirot, to relight the soul of Adam HaRishon. As the Pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of God, like we started with, is the neshama of man. And Adam's neshama was extinguished as a result of that original sin, which means that also Chava's neshama was extinguished as a result of that sin. And it became our job, everyone's job, to relight that candle. That being said, let's take a look at the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna writes in Source 19. Because Lamaisa, we know that women are nohig to light the Shabbos candles. So Bilvavi Mishkan Evna writes, Aval Adam HaRishon Haya, Hayachidi Shaisa Lo Neshama Elukis. That there was one person in the world who had a godly soul, and that was Adam HaRishon. Hu Haya Ner Shel Kol Olam Kulo. Because Adam had this amazingly lofty soul that was a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was given, just like we're all given Neshama Elukis, we're all given souls from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So too, this was the soul of Adam HaRishon. And it illuminated the entire world. And at the time, b'shosh Adam Rishon chata, and at the time that Adam Rishon sinned, ha'ishe b'chata o kova haner. This great candle, this great soul of Adam Rishon, his neshama, it became extinguished. Kova ner sh'olam, the candles of the world were extinguished. And there was a great darkness that came across the world, like we saw in Derech Hashem. As a result of Adam and Chava's sin, there was a great darkness that came to the world. Misham ve'elach, from that point going forward, from the time of the sin and onwards, for all time, the goal of man was to relight this candle. And if Adam Rishon wouldn't have sinned, so then he would have entered into Shabbos Kodesh. And he would have been united with that light, the light of the world to come, on that Shabbos, right? Like we explained, maybe it's an allusion to what we spoke about in the Derech Hashem, the light of the world to come, where the soul itself purifies the body, and the body itself, in turn, elevates the soul. That the body is on such a level where it can house the neshama fully, and they get along together. That's what Adam would have been zocher to. That's what mankind would have been like. Umishechata hu kiva et oto anor, and when he sinned, it's like we said, this candle was extinguished. Umishegarim lekivoy hazeh hi aisha, and who caused this extinguished to happen? It was the isha. It was Chava. Ulechein hisricha litikein zos, and therefore she has to fix this. Aval beomek, and this is where everything we just said comes in. But in the depths, if we really understand this in the depths of what's going on here, we understand that it's on every single person to fix this. That every single person among the Jewish people are responsible for relighting the soul of Adam HaRishon. So as Rav Itamar Schwartz beautifully writes in the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, that with Adam's falling, mankind fell. And a part of what caused the sin was the role of Chava. Chava is this part of Adam that's attached to Adam, that's one with Adam. But at the same time, it's in some ways separate from Adam. As we see, she was separated from Adam. And this part of Adam, which is called Chava, so this part has to do the tikkun for him. And as we saw, because Adam and Chava were so close together, both men and women are chayev in halakos near Shabbos. That being said, there was some separation. And as a result of the sin, there was even more separation between Adam and Chava. And it's Chava's job to be metaking that part of Adam that she brought down in the sin. So therefore, women take preference. And if a person's unmarried and they're not being supported, and they meet all the qualifications, so they should light on their own. Right? Men are also, like we quoted from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that men are also obligated in this mitzvah. But the women take preference. Right? The Nashim Sidkanios take preference for performing this tikkun, for performing this mitzvah, which is supposed to illuminate the soul of Adam Rishon in the world. And so the question is, how does this tikkun work exactly? And it's explained in the Shem Mishmuel. And he talks about there the three mitzvos that women have, and he writes that they're parallel to the three parts of the soul of Adam Rishon. As he writes it, the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel, and as explained by others, as the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. And this makes a lot of sense why the candles would be connected to the neshama. It makes sense that the deepest of the three, right, the most internal, the most holy part of the soul, which is in the neshama, it's the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be fixed from the lighting of the candles. As we spoke about, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the candle of God is the neshama of mankind. Right? So the Ner is what relights the neshama of Adam HaRishon. So the Shem Mishmuel explains why this makes sense. Why should it be, right, when we're our mind is wherever it is, worried that the kids are already in clean for Shabbos and that all the crock pot's turned on low and that the timers are all set. And we stop and we say, it's time to light candles. We run to light candles. Right? When those candles are being lit, the Shem Mishmuel is teaching us, it's relighting the neshama of Adam HaRishon. In Source 21, we get a little bit more of an insight. What does that mean to us? The Piskei Tshuvos is discussing here, why don't we have an obligation to make a blessing over Oneg Shabbos, over things that we enjoy on Shabbos? Why should we not make a blessing on them? So, there's one answer provided, and we're going to go to the second answer, where it says, Ve'od. Ve'od teretz, k'shem mevarchim al hadlokas ner shel Shabbos, yotzim bo al kol tanuge Shabbos. When a person makes the bracha of hadlokas neros, when Shabbos is coming in, they are yotze, they fulfill the obligation of making such a bracha on every pleasure over all of Shabbos. Shakol tanuge Shabbos mitzvah achasim. Because all of the pleasures and enjoyment of Shabbos are one. And it seems to be that the candles are the highest of all these pleasures. So let's just take a deeper look at the idea of oneg on Shabbos. We're always talking about a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah of a person to sleep the right amount in the right way. Where does this come from, such physical things, that all of a sudden are now become lofty things? The tzaddikim talk about during the week how a person could reach very high levels through eating. But that's somebody, in general, who we assume is a complete tzaddik. But on Shabbos Kodesh, it's meant for everybody. Everybody could tap into this level of holy eating on Shabbos Kodesh, to the eating where it's actually a mitzvah to be eating right now, not just something that we're doing to fulfill, to make sure, to fill our body, to make sure that we feel healthy. And I would like to suggest that this koach, where any person can tap into physical holiness on Shabbos Kodesh, comes from the fact that every woman goes and lights Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and what that causes is our neshama to come relit inside of us. Right? The neshama of the world is relit. And like we said, what does that mean? It means, like the Derech Hashem said, that the neshama is taking its position over the guf again, where the body not only is it a viable and a good vehicle for the neshama, that the body can hold the neshama, it does a good job holding it, but it also, the body can help itself elevate the neshama. Through the body, a person can elevate the neshama. Where during the week, there's no such thing. On the level of tzaddikim, they could use their neshama to elevate their body. But on Shabbos, a person has the opportunity to use their body to elevate their neshama. This food is making me closer to godliness. This food is elevating my neshama. An unbelievable level as a result of the Shabbos candles. So when a person goes to light, when a lady, when a Bas Yisrael goes to light Shabbos candles, what they're doing is giving that opportunity for mankind to tap in to holiness from the most physical things. And on Shabbos Kodesh, the Nashim Sidkanios are giving all of the world an opportunity to take the most physical things and make them holy. The question that we have when we leave this is, that's Chava's job. That's the job of the Isha when it comes to Shabbos candles. But if Chava was so connected to Adam, where's Adam's part in this? And we see that in source number 23. The Magen Avraham writes, Umikol makom, ha'ish yitakin ha'neros. That even though it's the woman's job to light the candles, it's the man's job to set up the candles. It's very interesting that he used the lashon of yitakin ha'neros. That it's the man's job to make a tikkun, to set up the tikkun. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. In source number 24, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Umikol makom tov sha'ish yitakin ha'neros. Again, the same lashon. That it's fitting for the man to set up the candles, to fix the candles. And we see in source number 25, the final source of this year. The first Pesukei Tshuvos quotes the Mishnah Berurah that we just saw, that a man should set up the candles. Then he quotes the Ramah. And the Ramah says, Shenagu lahadli kapatila likvosa kdei shetia mechurechet yachoz ba haor yafeh shezeh yaseh ish. So what does that mean, the man should set up the candles? It means that the man should light the wick beforehand and then blow it out so that it'll light easier for his wife. But if we look deeper, with the deeper eyes, I see the most amazing thing in this. We could see such an unbelievable idea. That what is the man really doing when he's setting up the candles? He's like the Mishnah Berurah said, like the Magen Avraham said, he's opening up the possibility for that tikkun, right? That fixing. And what fixing is the man doing? He's lighting the candle that was Adam HaRishon and he's blowing it out. And he's saying that candle has been extinguished. And then he's asking his wife. He's asking his wife to come relight the candle of the world that's been extinguished. If the woman just came and lit the candles, it would be like she was lighting a candle. But when the man lights it first and blows it out and prepares it for her, right, what's he doing? He's giving her the opportunity to do that tikkun. The tikkun is, there was a candle that was blown out, which was Adam HaRishon's soul. That was the soul of every single one of us. Now we have the opportunity for my wife, for Chava, for the Isha, to come and relight that candle of the world. I'd like to suggest that's maybe a deeper understanding of the words of the Ramah. So as we discussed, as we started with, why is it that the Nashim Sidkanias light the Shabbos candles? And we gave the reason of the Rambam, and we gave the reason of the Yerushalmi, right? Because Chava extinguished the soul of Adam HaRishon, which was the candle of the world. And we ran with the idea of the Yerushalmi. And we explained that in the Pesukim, that's the way it seems. The Chava first ate from the tree and then gave it to Adam HaRishon. And we had the question of why is it referred to as the Chet of Adam HaRishon then? And it seems to be that it's referred to that way because Adam was a Neshama Kolelis. He encompassed everything, including Chava, which was a part of his soul. So when Chava sinned, really Adam also sinned. Right? And therefore, it's responsibility both upon man and woman to light Shabbos candles, because that sin affected both Chava and Adam, considering that Chava was part of Adam. And when a woman lights Shabbos candles, she's restoring that soul, the neshama, to the whole olam. It gives us the ability to use physicality for the good. Right? A man's part in this mitzvah, Adam's part, is helping her set up that tikkun. It's lighting the candles and extinguishing them in order to recreate that reality that the candle was extinguished and we're asking you to relight it. So let's try and take a moment. Right? The goal is to take a moment for both men and women, to take a moment in the craziness before Shabbos, which is obviously the craziest time of the week, and to try with a moment, maybe just for a second before we make the bracha, and appreciate and contemplate the loftiness of this mitzvah. Neir Shabbos are eternal. They may appear as if they go out late Lil Shabbos, but like every mitzvah, their light shines for eternity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, both of us, Adam and the Chava, the Ish and the Isha, that we should take any spare moments we have. And if we don't have any spare moments, we should try our best to make some time, even if it's just a minute before we light, right? To try and internalize the beauty and importance of this mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us believe in ourselves, believe in the power of our Shabbos candles, believe in the power of us lighting them and us preparing them. And b'schus, us doing this mitzvah, performing this mitzvah with the greatest level of simcha and kavana, we should be zocha to see the Binyan Beis Hamikdash b'mehera b'yameinu.